I want to just begin by touching on something that I didn't say last week, and it just precedes our reading from the Acts of the Apostles, but it does have a relevance for today. So I'm just going to go back a verse and just read out the verse that preceded our reading, and talk a little bit about that to lead into what I want to say today. Just to remind you, Paul and Barnabas decide that they're going to go back to the churches that they've planted and built, and to check in, to see how they're doing, to encourage them, to challenge them, etc. And they are in agreement about that, but they have a strong disagreement about who they take with them. Paul has clearly been upset by John Mark's flakiness, and so doesn't want anything to do with him. Barnabas wants to give him another chance, typical Barnabas. And so they have a strong disagreement and they part company and go their separate ways. And so we talked a bit about that last week. Paul finds a young man called Timothy, who sort of becomes his new protege, and he circumcises him, although Paul doesn't really think that that's necessary, and then goes and preaches to the churches. And it finishes with this. Our last week's reading finished with this. So the churches were strengthened in the faith and increased in numbers daily. Now, I'm not going to propose that Paul deliberately did it in that order. Luke wrote that in that particular order, that they increased in faith and then they increased in numbers. I believe that they kind of go together. But it is of interest to me to point that out, that in order to grow in number, there needs to be a strengthening of the faith, a growth in our faith. Now, that's not to say that if we grow in faith, we'll automatically grow in number. It doesn't work that way. But a real measure of whether someone is growing in faith is about how much they're growing in telling people, talking about their faith, witnessing to their faith. But that sense of, are we growing in number? No. We need to look at our discipleship, looking at how we grow in faith and strength in that faith. Anyway, they go through the region, go to Phrygia and Galatia. Paul, it seems, has rejected his view of going and seeing the churches, or maybe when he split up with Barnabas, said to Barnabas, you go and check in on them. You seem more interested about that. I'm going to set out again into new territory. And he goes, and there's these two phrases that get repeated through our reading for today. One, they went through the region of Phrygia and Galatia, having been forbidden by the Holy Spirit to speak the word in Asia. Then it says, when they had come opposite Mysia, they attempted to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit of Jesus did not allow them. I would be fascinated to know how long it took them to discern that it was the Holy Spirit and the Spirit of Jesus that blocked them or forbid them. Because most of us will have experienced in the life of faith frustrations to what we thought was the vocational call of God on our lives. That we have a sense that God is calling us to do something, and we step out and we do our part, and then it doesn't really work out. There's just some frustration, or doesn't work out the way you wanted to. It feels like there's a blockage. And then we all fall into the question of, why is this happening? What's going on here? And we can err on two sides. One is we can just claim it's the enemy, it's Satan, it's the devil trying to stop us from doing this work, and that's all it is. And so we kind of force ourselves to push through and break through and carry on working without any sort of question that it might not exactly be our vision that God wants. Or we are the other side and we say, oh, it's God stopping us, so let's stop doing that and let's try something else. It's a really difficult discernment. And as I said last week, it's very difficult to hear the voice of God. We should never underestimate how difficult it is. It is important in those times to stay together, to discern together, to do that listening together, so that one voice doesn't suggest that we push forward if it's not the will of God. But just with strength of will and strength of character, we can sometimes push into things that God doesn't actually want us to do, that we misheard in the first instance. And he's been trying to tell us to not do exactly as we thought it was going to look like. But equally, we want to stop ourselves from claiming that God doesn't want us to do something when actually it's worth a little bit of a push. Very tricky thing to do. And I want to know how long it took Paul and Timothy and the others to discern whether it was the Holy Spirit or the Spirit of Jesus stopping them from proceeding into what they thought was the call of God to go into those regions. And we here at St. Peter's need to do the same in all the big decisions that we've got to make this year. We have to make sure that we are discerning what it is that frustrates us, because we have a history of being frustrated, even in the 3 years that I've been here, of listening and really feeling God is calling us to something, and we push ahead on it, and then sickness, division, and frustration happens. Energy levels plummet all of a sudden, and we're like, well, we can't do that anymore. And there's calls to carry on pushing through, and others there going, well, it's fine, maybe this is the will of God, maybe we just need to, you know, adjust our vision and all this. It's exhausting. And we need all of us to join in. Which brings me to the next point. I don't know if you picked up on it, but during today's reading, suddenly the language changes from third person to first person, plural. It moves from a they narrative. They did this, they did that, they were frustrated, they, to suddenly, in one sentence, and we went here, we did this. There's lots of different theories as to why that is. The most common is that this is the point at which Luke actually joins Paul on his missionary journey. Luke, the writer of Acts and the Gospels, meets Paul in Macedonia and joins them, and so suddenly the rest of the Acts of the Apostles, or the most of it, is first person, is Luke's actual eyewitness accounts of what happened with Paul on his missionary journeys. But I want to just use that little quirk in the language to ask us to reflect on whether it's time for some of us to move from they narrative to a we narrative. It is easy in churches and in congregations to sit in the pew and think they will decide, they will discern the future of the church. They will have their conversations, usually in PCC, and they will decide what's going to happen. My job is to either agree or disagree. And if I disagree, well, then I go to another church where they will make the decisions that I want them to make. I want to challenge us, if that is us, to say, I don't want our church to be a they will decide. I want it to be a we will decide. That we are responsible for discerning the will of God. It is we who will decide what God is calling us to together. And so therefore you must play your part. It is a small part, but a necessary part of contributing to the discernment, of challenging maybe some decisions, of approaching us and making sure that the people on the PCC represent your voice. And maybe that is you. Maybe you feel that no one's listening to you. Well, maybe that's you stepping in and saying, well, my voice needs to be heard, and it does. So maybe that's where I need to be. Because it's we that will decide, not they. But those discernments are only going to get easier if we are growing in faith. If we are growing in our understanding of who God is and what his voice sounds like. And we only grow in that by practice and by doing it, by joining small groups and learning and listening to others and how they pray and read the Bible and seek God's face. And also us, teaching others. I have grown immeasurably by being able to teach others. It is a great growing place. And as we grow in faith, we grow together. And we begin to encourage one another to continue to pursue the will of God. And as we do that, we will increase in number so that more voices can come in and help us to discern. So what of Lydia? Got a small band of disciples. Small, probably frustrated, disappointed, having been blocked from doing what they wanted on two occasions. They find themselves in Macedonia. And I don't know, but I kind of feel that they would be exhausted. Discernment is exhausting. And they find themselves here, sitting, doing probably bare minimum. And a woman turns up and she listens. And you notice that it wasn't their persuasive words, it wasn't their energy, it wasn't the way in which they presented themselves. It was nothing to do with them. God opened her heart to the gospel. How I wish it was that simple all the time. I pray so often that God would do all of the work and I didn't have to do any of it. But there it is. Lydia joins them at probably a weak time, at an exhausted time. Lydia is clearly rich, influential. The seller of purple cloths is quite a high status job. And this miraculous moment of her receiving the gospel by God's grace, suddenly her whole household gets baptized. She suddenly opens her house and a church is built. Simple as that. So we can have hope. We can have hope that as we discern together, as a we, the will of God, and we are faithful to it, and we push where we need to push, and we resist where we need to resist, that even when we are exhausted, frustrated, lost, and confused, God still opens hearts to the gospel. All that we're asked to do is faithfully witness, in whatever state we're in, the love and grace of God. So let's pray. Lord, we commit to you this church family, this particular expression of your one body. And we commit it to you for this year. We pray that together we would better discern your will and your purposes. Speak to each and every one of us, and give us boldness to proclaim those things to one another, that by that one Spirit we would be united in heart and mind, to reach out in love, and to witness to your goodness and your grace. We ask this in Jesus' name.